for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, December the 26th, 1997. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Paul and Eva Fernandez are the ministers of the morning. We'll turn the rest of the morning over to Brother Paul and Sister Eve Fernandez. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go right ahead. But for the blood made it all possible for you and I to have life and have it more abundant. Thank you, Jesus. I had no one to blame. How I longed to hide my face. I was so ashamed of all the wrongs I'd done. Yes, I knew I had to pay. I was bound to face hell's claim. I'd be there today, my friends, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus.
But for the blood shed on Calvary's tree. But for the blood, there'd be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness is filthy rags, and that's all I'll ever be. But for the blood that cleansed and
all praise you, Lord. Even now I get so low. You know the devil lets me know I'm so undeserving. I'm unworthy of God's love. Oh, yes, I know it's true. Here I stand with His chosen few, but I stand today. Yes, I'm saved, but for the blood. But for that blood shed on Calvary's tree. But for the blood, there'd be no hope for you and me. For all our righteousness is filthy rags, and that's all we'll ever be. But for the blood that cleansed and set me free. But for the blood that cleansed and set me free. But for the blood that cleansed.
Thank you, Lord.
It's going to rain. Praise the Lord. I'm not too bad off. I don't mind rain too bad if I can dress for it. Or if I'm home and I don't care, I'm not walking the rain. Be like a little duck. But I'm looking forward to the rain of the Holy Spirit. I've been looking toward that. This past year, I believe I got some of it. A lot of people say, well, it's been raining all the time. Well, it has, and every year seemed like it got better, but last year was terrific. Go ahead, brother. I'm just talking. Praise the Lord. Blessed is a preacher that can just praise the Lord and not preach. I'm not trying to preach. Hallelujah, not this morning. It's going to rain. Praise you, Lord. Touch me, Jesus.
It's going to rain.
It's going to rain.
You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure don't know the rainbow sign. Oh, it won't be water, but fire the next time. Way back in the Bible days, Oh, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. When he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, well, they were left behind. He told them,
it's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure don't know the rainbow sign. Oh, it won't be water, but by the next time, they tell me the rain began to pour. They beat upon the windows and they knocked upon the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. You don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. Yes, God showed old Noah the rainbow sign. Oh, it won't be water, but by the next time, Noah said, I'm sorry, my friends, but God's got the key and you can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of men, this same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind, cause God told old Noah the rainbow sign. Oh, it won't be water, but by the next time. Now Noah told the people in plenty of time, but they were too wicked and they were too blind. And when it came that awful day, yes, they tried to pray, but their prayer was too late. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure don't know the rainbow sign. Oh, it won't be water, but by the next time, it won't be water, but by the next time. Hear me, it won't be water, but by the next time.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Glory. Third chapter of Joel, beginning at the 15th verse. And I've got a mix here. I read from a number of translations, and the one I liked the best was the New King James, but I'm using the NIV with a little King James inserted. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder his voice from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble and shake. But the Lord will be a shelter and a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. And then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade or pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day, the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the riverbeds of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of Acacias. But Egypt will be desolate, Edom a desert waste, because of the violence that they did to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all the generations. Now look at that as prophetic or something to the future, if you wish. I'm going to try to bring it into the hearts of us here today. The sun and the moon will just no longer be there, darkened. Stars, you can't find a one up there. There'll be a terrible roaring of the voice of the Lord. There'll be trembling and shaking. Now, what the Lord here is saying to me. And Lord, we just ask you to let your anointing flow and keep us in check. And we praise you. But he's saying that you can't look to these things. The sun, you know, disappears every evening. And you're just absolutely confident, no doubt anywhere in your life, that come dawn, it's going to be there. Now, what if it ain't? I mean, it's the end of everything, you see. We need the sun. And the moon reflects the light of the sun. And through the night, the moon is there reminding you that the sun's a-coming back. But what if it ain't? What are you going to do? Because everything in our solar system functions from the sun. Everything we live by. We are totally 100% dependent on that sun staying there, and yet God tells us that it is not going to remain. Where are you headed? What are you going to do? Where are you going? What is he actually saying to us today? Forget it. Forget it. Whether it's there or whether it's not, he remains. Rely on him. Totally, completely, unconditionally, for everything. In other words, get out of the natural, get out of the carnal, and lean on the Lord by his Spirit. Now, he talks about the invasions of Egypt and Edom coming in and passing through the land. I mean, how many times, you know, was Egypt, or Israel rather, torn apart? How many times is it today? Egypt, of course, is the world. Israel is us. Now, how many times have you been invaded by the enemy? How many times have you been hurt? How many times have you been abused? How many times have you come up short? But the Lord says, rely on him. Not the world, not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, not man. Put your trust in him, and them demon forces, the enemy, Egypt, will no longer pass through. They will be laid to waste. They will be made desolate for what they have done to you. Now receive this, and you're on your way to victory. Receive this, and you're on your way into the true family of God. God is not a wimp, and he don't want wimps with him. The song we sang said about the testing time. We are in the testing time. That's what life is. That's what life is all about. Nobody seems to understand it. But God, with his word, by his Spirit, is shedding light for you to come into the understanding that will give you the victories that you need. He ain't passing through. He ain't going to invade you anymore. He ain't going to kick you down and beat you around anymore. If you'll stand up, face the enemy, identify the enemy. I mean, Ephesians 6, how many times? It must be at least 4, maybe 5 times that he says, stand. 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 You're tired of standing? Then stand some more. If you can't stand any longer, he says, stand. The Lord gave me word somewhere to somebody last night that it don't make no difference. Just hang in there. Stay in it. Keep going. The word says that he will not allow more to come on you than you can handle. But it says more than that. He'll show you the way through and out. Hallelujah. Read it all. And now he starts talking about a fountain springing up, rivers flowing out, things coming alive. We can't live without water. We were talking this morning about the rain and the lack of rain. Over there in Mississippi where we live, they call it gumbo. I thought that's something you ate. Yeah, over here, they know what gumbo is. but we get stuck in it. If it sprinkles, we're going to get all full of mud for several days. And then if it don't rain for a while, it gets so dry that the ground cracks. I mean, you can almost stick your foot down in some of them crevices in our backyard when it gets dry in the summertime. But the word here is telling you that there is a fountain of life-providing water that is going to gush up inside of you. I want to take a minute and tell you about a little lady. She was back in her house, and she was ready to wash some clothes. And she went back in the kitchen, and there wasn't any water. Went to the bathroom, wasn't any there. And she had to perform a little ritualistic duty that she had to do pretty regular. Now, I don't know how often she did it, twice a day, once a day, several times a week. I don't know how often she had to do this. But you see, she had no plumbing, and her water was gone. So she had to get her bucket and go out and get water. We used to have a fellow working for us. Red Foley raised him. He was a comedian. Lived over here in Arkansas. And he told me one time a story about him and his grandmother. She told him, every time you go to the outhouse, you go to the well too. Bring some water back. Now, don't waste the trip. Well, this lady got her bucket. Then she come on out of the house, and she put it on her head. See, because she didn't live here. We carry buckets like this. But just about anywhere else you go in the world, and I spent 7 years as a seafarer during World War II and on into the Korean War, went around the world, visited 35 different countries, went through the Suez 5 times and the Panama 5 times, I guess, around the Cape of Good Hope 4 times. I saw a whole lot of things. One thing I saw was people carrying things on their head. Most everywhere we went, that's how they carry things. The Zulus got holes in their ears, and they hook things in their ear, and they carry it on their ears. Yeah, it's a crazy world. You know, you just pull on them a little bit, they hurt. Them guys carry great big old buckets on their ears. When they're not carrying anything, they put big mosaics in them. I was in Bahia. It's in Brazil. And I had to go to the dentist. And the dentist's office was right on the main square, up second floor, I guess. And I was in the chair, and he went out to do something, I don't know what. While he's gone, I decided I'd take a look out the window. I stood up, walked over to the window, and I looked out there in the town square. And there was a house passing through on people's heads. You don't have to believe this. That don't mean it didn't happen, you know. But, I mean, they were carrying that house on their heads right on through town. Well, this lady, she come on through town, down the main street, out the city gate. A little bit further on out, she come up to the water well where she had to go so often, so regular, to get her water. And as she come up to that well, there was a guy sitting there, a stranger. But she knew, she may not have known who he was, but she knew what he was by the way he was dressed. He was different from her. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. Not only that, he was a rabbi. And Jews don't have nothing to do with Samaritans, especially when they're women. Don't even speak to them. Ain't about to touch them. Dogs to them. But this guy speaks to her. And she's flabbergasted. He said, "Get me a drink of water." And she's wondering, why in the world he come out here himself, you know, without a bucket? And then they start a conversation. And she's asking, religious questions. Yes, she's wanting to talk about religion. And he's wanting to talk about her. Everything comes back to the same thing. If you knew who I was, who I am, you wouldn't have to make these trips. If you were to ask me for water instead of me asking you, you'd never need to come out to this well again. You'd never go thirsty again. Because I'm able to install indoor plumbing in you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And she just flips out. You know, she asked him about the mountains. She asked him about different religious things. And he bears right back at her. Go get your husband. Well, I don't have one right now. I know that. You've had five. And the guy you're shacking up with now ain't married to you. I mean, you know, sometimes you can just, when the Lord gives you a word for somebody, and they shake, and tears start coming out of them, you know that God's in charge. And that's what's happening to this woman. She's getting hooked up with a new plumbing system. And that stuff is pouring into her. She's being rejuvenated. She's being redeemed. She's being ordained. And, you know, it gets in your feet. And here she goes, man. I mean, she's a believer, you see. So much so that she takes that bucket that she has to rely on, that she has to depend on, that is just as important to her as the sun and the moon and the stars are. And she throws that bucket down. And takes off back through the gate into the town. And everywhere she's a-going, she's a-hollering and a-screaming. Hey, there's a guy out there that told me all about myself. He knows everything. He must be the Messiah. Come on out here with me and meet the Messiah. The Anointed One. The Promised One. The Christ. The Christos. Come on out and see. Now that sounds like an anointed evangelist to me. And please take note that it was a woman. Please notice that it was a female. See, when God was in charge, men and women together ran things in the book of Judges. But when the Israelites just changed their mind and said, man, we want to be like them nations and we want to have a king, that's when things changed. Been messed up and fouled up ever since. With monarchies and democracies, the only one that works is a theocracy. Well, Jesus leaves that well. And he goes on where he was headed for. Goes on down to Jerusalem. Goes into the temple. And the ritual services are going. And there's one place in that service when the high priest stands up before the congregation with a bucket, a chalice, an urn, whatever you want it to be, and he presents it to the public. He's got it full of water. And the ritual calls for him to say the words, "This is living water." And in John 7, it tells you that Jesus objected. It says he shouted. Now, can you imagine somebody coming in and interrupting the service? Telling the presiding person that you're all wet. We were in an Assembly of God church one time, and the Lord gave me a little word. I raised my hand and asked permission to speak. Got it from the pastor. I said, "Pastor, the Lord is showing me there's somebody here that has something up in here in their head that's just blocking them from receiving the things of God on into them." But about this time, the guy jumped up, ran up forward. The Bible went one way. The flag went flying. Flowers everywhere. He's tearing the whole place apart. And people are heading for the door. About two or three families took off. And just, I quietly called that demonstrating spirit to come under control. And the guy calmed down. And I guess there'd been some differences between him and the pastor because they started hugging each other and forgiving each other. And when the service was over, of course, he put everything back together first before he started back. Well, he went to Eve. And he said, "Lady, the Lord told me to ask you to pray for me." And believe me, he got prayed for. If you want to feel the Lord, let her wrap her arms around you. Praise the Lord and start praying. But Jesus shouts out in the middle of the service and says, "Uh-uh, oh no, you ain't got living water in that bucket. I am living water. I am living water. Believe in me and waters, rivers will flow up out of you." Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, it'll water the land. It'll make you fertile because you are the soil. Glory. That lady back there at the well didn't have to go once a day or twice a day or three times a week or whatever her ritual had been. That high priest had to go through that curtain, you know, once a year. He had to go inside with bells on him and a rope around him. He had to be consecrated. He had to be sanctified before he went in to the presence of God. You don't have to go to the priest anymore. You don't have to look to a man anymore. The veil has become Jesus Christ. Jesus has become the veil. Hallelujah. The veil was torn of the old, and we come into the new. And when we come to that cross in conviction and open our hearts to the Almighty and let that blood flow down over us and wash us clean, then He installs indoor plumbing into us. And we got a fountain inside of us that flows up and waters us and makes us fertile. Glory, hallelujah. And then when we go to Him on the throne now and say, "King Jesus, Lord Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Immerse me in that water of the Holy Ghost." Then that stuff starts flowing out of you and flowing over into others. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And you find it symbolically described in Ezekiel 47 when the man comes along following the path of the water, the river flowing out from the temple, out of the Holy of Holies, through the gate and on down, getting deeper and deeper and deeper as you walk into it until you are inundated, until it is over your head. Yeah. And wherever it is flowing, things are alive. Where it's dry or it ain't flowing, it's dead. So, you know, they argue about, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you not have the Holy Ghost? Well, you're born again. I got it all then. Well, I got it 6 months later. I got it 20 years later. I met two high-level executives, if you will, in mainline Pentecostal churches that neither one could speak in tongues. They had been performing official duties in the church for well over 20 years, and neither one of them could speak in tongues. I met them separately. Prayed for one, or with one for hours, and he just couldn't break through. All bound up in tradition. How wrong everybody else is. Had a history of excommunications. Is that the word? Where you kick them out? So they got kicked out, whatever the word was. But the other man, I prayed with him for about 10 minutes, and it just flowed out. And I don't remember what kind of a holiday it was, but something, we went to his and his wife's house. It just made me feel so good. He spoke an utterance, and I was able to interpret it there at their dining room table. Praise the Lord. Yeah, A man that had been 25 years wanting to speak, but didn't understand. But the waters flowed from there on. Amen. Yeah. We can get discipline from anywhere in the Word if we will seek it out. God wants disciples. He says, rely on His voice and His power, not man or nature. Live in His shaking. Live in the beating. Live in the humbling that He wants you to come through to get to know Him better. And He'll strengthen you through hope as you go through these trials and these tribulations. I preached like that in a church once, and they told me I couldn't come back because I talked about suffering. Talked about, you know, hurting. But if you can't get sick, if you can't get hurt, if you can't suffer, then you can't get healed. If you don't have some demonic problem, then you can't be delivered.
Praise the Lord. Come on.
Think about it, you know. And if He gives everything to you today, what you going to get tomorrow? He gives you what you can handle now and brings you a little closer to Him, away from the hurts that you had over His side today. It's called sanctification. And then tomorrow, He brings you a little more. And you ain't never going to get all the way until you come face to face with the Father. Hallelujah. Because you are violently, spiritually violently opposed by the enemy. He will tear your enemy off of your back. Make it desolate. And make you fertile. He'll cause living waters to flow out of your house. Out of you, to water your valleys, your land, yourself, your ministry. As a child of Judah, as a child of Jesus, Jesus is the Lion of Judah, as an adopted remnant seed, heir to the promises of the Abrahamic covenant, fulfilled in a new covenant, you're filled with everlasting flow of wisdom, power, and joy. Brother Bill led us phenomenally, I felt, in the songs about joy. Getting into joy by love. Hallelujah. Ain't working without love. But John 4:14, where he talks to the little lady, tells us that the flow's source is a never-ending well, a spring, a fountain that will not stop. I will not depart. I will not leave you, the Holy Spirit says. It's an inner service, source of eternal spiritual life. It makes you an alien to the world and a citizen of the kingdom. John 7:38, when he comes into the temple, that flowing water, that river of abundance, completes the work of redemption. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit developing a flow of spiritualism through you like a river. It flows out to others. He said, don't put your light under a basket, but be like a city shining in the night on a hill. Go out and be seen. It flows out to others. He said, don't put your light under a basket, but be like a city shining in the night on a hill. Go out and be seen. There's no longer just life in you now. It's life-giving life that you got. Life-serving life that you got. The well is your change. The river is your display, your proof, your maturity. Now, Psalm 1:3 says you can be a tree by the rivers. Your roots can go down in there. You can be in that unstoppable flow that transforms, feeds, matures, heals, and overcomes. Not over into Revelation 22:2 says the tree in the river of life bears fruit monthly. He calls it a tree, but it gives the impression of being trees. See, we are one in the body of Christ. We're melded together as various functioning parts of the body, but Jesus Christ is the head. So there's a lot of trees. Bible says 12. 12 is foundation. 12 is a base of growth. Hallelujah. The apostles. The 12 tribes, the apostles. Jesus is the cornerstone. Your flow is from the throne of God. And when you read that, it says that, you know, it says there's fruit every month, 12 times. Now, they got tired of that manna. It was the same thing every morning, you know. I believe, and again, believe what you want. To me, there's 12 different kinds of fruit. We're going to eat something different every day, every month anyway. And for me, I'm just hoping and expecting for one of them trees to be a mango tree. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I go in Walmart, you know, and every time I see mangoes, 2 for $1, I get them. If they're $1 a piece, I leave them alone. If they're 2 for $1, man, I get them. And I put as many as I can get in the basket and bring them home, and she'll peel them, and I eat the peels. And then we freeze the rest of it, so we got mangoes in the freezer, see, year-round. But somebody invariably will stop me in Walmart and say, "What's that?" I say, "These are mangoes." "Well, what's a mango?" And I say, "I grew up in a mango tree. I'm a mango kid." Yeah. I've been chased out of most every neighbor's tree in my neighborhood when I was a kid, eating their mangoes. Revelation 3:7 tells us that Jesus opens and closes doors that we can't handle. No, he closed the door, it's closed. He opened it, it's open. They can't get in. And they can't keep you out. Hallelujah. My brother was sharing with me this morning about the Baptist church trying to throw him out. Well, I got thrown out of every Catholic church in South Dade County. Then the Lord finally told me, he said, "Get out." Hallelujah. But I wouldn't leave. Them Catholics is the hungriest people there is for the truth. And we had 200 of them that was following us, attending our services. But the Lord said, "Go." And when he said, "Go," I went instantly. And all the old junk just fell off. Psalm 52:8 says, "He who trusts in the Lord and his unfailing love flourishes like a green olive tree, fruitful within his own house." In other words, the olive tree is a unique tree. It's a different tree from most every other kind of a tree because its fruit has oil in it. It's different. And it's special to God because just like the flowing water, the olive oil represents the Holy Ghost. And he says that he who trusts in the Lord is like a fruitful green olive tree. Isaiah 1:5-6 says, "Why do you remain covered with open sores and deep wounds, a sick head and a faint heart? Why do you remain stricken and beaten with no soundness in you? Why do you remain without oil to heal you? Why do you stay shaken? Why do you stay beaten and not have oil? Why do you continue trusting the sun, the moon, the stars, Egypt, earth, man? Why are you a tree without oil? Why are you not flourishing in your shakings and your beatings?" Deuteronomy 28:40 says, "If your fruit is dropping off, you are living in the curse." You see, you cannot harvest olives from the ground. They don't go pick them up. When they're ready to harvest from the olive tree, they go with sticks. And they beat the tree. They beat it first with the sticks. And as they fall, they catch them. And then they shake the tree. And the remainder falls. And they get their harvest. Now, the Bible says that if you let them fall to the ground and then pick them up, you're cursed. So you got to do it God's way. Weird? Yeah, but it's God's way. What he says, do, and you will be blessed, and you will prosper. So, there's a purpose for the shaking and the beating. The oil does three things. It enlightens, encourages, and endows. Isaiah 60:19 says, he replaces the sun and the moon with himself. He is the everlasting light. He removes all your tears. He enlightens you. Psalm 119:130 says, his light gives understanding to his word. If you don't have his light, you don't have his understanding. You got a book. And there's people who have just about rehearsed it backwards. They can tell you almost anything, anywhere you want, quote it, they'll quote it. But start getting deep with them. And they don't know what you're talking about. So like my brother said this morning, in other words, you're too weird to associate with until they need prayer. And then whose door you think they knock on? They don't want anything to do with you any other time. But if they need prayer, they'll come a-hollering. But his light gives understanding to the word, discernment, perception, attention, and obedience. It gives wisdom beyond data accumulation. See, wisdom that you get out of a computer is man-made wisdom. Man stuck it in there. As long as you know what button to push, and I don't have the slightest idea, well, you can get some real smart stuff back out of that machine. But I want you to know that I got more wisdom than Solomon. I may not know how to use it, but I got it. I got it because the Word said it's mine to have. And I open up to the Lord for anything and everything he's got. That's wisdom beyond mankind. Superior, supernatural insight into his glories and his mysteries. Now, Proverbs 28:5 says, they who diligently seek the Lord understand all things worth understanding. So all that other stuff is junk. You're in the flow of enlightenment, flowing from the throne of God, anointed with his flowing oil. You've got wisdom. You got light. You got power. And it's flowing in you, through you, and out of you to others. Acts 26:17-18 says Paul was sent to open eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, turn Satan's power to God's power. Ephesians 1:18 says, enlightenment brings the hope for which you were called, the riches of his everlasting inheritance. So we go from enlightenment to encouragement. Hope brings encouragement. Psalm 10:17, you hear, O Lord, the desires, the hopes of the humble and the afflicted, the shaken and the beaten. You prepare their hearts. You encourage them from their spirit. He will prepare you through your shakings and your beatings, through your sufferings and your hurts. He will prepare you for untold riches of blessings of all kinds and sorts. Yes, if you can just muster up the patience to wait it through and the trust to believe by faith that it will happen. He says further, you establish them. You set them firmly in order. You give deep conviction, satisfaction, and confidence in their hopes and their desires. Matthew 14:27, when they're out in a storm on the lake, and Jesus comes walking on the water. They're terrified of the storm. They know they're threatened to sink. But what they're really shook up about is that thing out there coming their way. That ghost that's walking on the water. That's what they're really scared of. That spiritual being that is defying the laws of nature. They can't handle that. And Jesus, in passing by, says, be of good cheer. Fear not. Have hope. Be encouraged. Trust with hope in Him. Encouraged by His love, His truth, His promises, His power, His works of His Holy Spirit, and the manifested results that you see. Be encouraged by His endowment. The third provision of the oil. His endowed authority. Luke 10:19 says, "You've been given authority over all the powers of the enemy. Satan cannot harm you regardless of the beatings." James 4:7 says, "Your submission to God endows you with authority over the devil. Exercise it and he must flee." Exodus 15:26, the Lord God Almighty says, "Listen to His voice, obey His commands, shine in His light, flow in His oil, live healed," in other words. And He, the unseen God, can be relied upon. He is reliable. He is permanent. He is powerful. He is more powerful, more real, more visual than anything that you can see. Because He created anything you can find and everything that you can't see that's there. He made it all. Believe in Him, and He'll plant living waters in you. Receive His Holy Spirit, and He'll cause those living waters to flow out of you into others. He'll take you out of Egypt if you'll take Egypt out of yourself. The Lord spoke during the time of praise, and He said He wanted to share words with you here today. He wants to speak to you. So believe that He's going to speak. Someone is wishing they could give an utterance. Someone's been hurting for quite a while. And they found themselves saying, on occasion, "Why? Why me? Why?" Someone's been thinking about taking a trip. Well, I got to say it. I've heard it two or three other times in other places. Something about a truck. Something about somebody's teeth. Now, those are not the messages. That's just God trying to get your attention. I was in a revival one time. The Lord gave me a word. Somebody had trouble in your kitchen this morning. The lady come up and said, "I was cooking breakfast this morning and I left. When I come back, it was all on fire and I've been upset all day long." Well, you see, the Lord wasn't trying to heal her frying pan. He was trying to get her attention to minister to her by letting her know He knew what was going on in her life.
See, the things that I just spoke out or indicated, if you feel that it applies to you in any way at all, you need to acknowledge it now for the word God has for you. Just raise your hand, okay? There's hand. Okay, praise the Lord. There, okay. All right. There, okay. Come on up. Which of those things? The train?
The truck.
A young boy up in Kentucky got saved over the word truck. Hallelujah. Well, let's see what the Lord wants to say to you about a truck. Let your faith rise, everyone. He says, "Trust me. Trust me. Trust a little longer. Trust a little longer. And you will see what I will do. You'll see what I do. You'll see what I do when you really, truly trust. Trust me. And I will provide the way. I will provide the way," says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Brother, come on up. Hallelujah. Eve, you can come too. What was it?
The trip in the truck and a couple of the others.
The trip in the truck. Oh, she kandara bahut lava hadara bahate bhiyato. Fandare kara hishitalo hutara bahata bhiyato. The Lord says, "Not now. Not now. Hold back. But for a season. Hold back for a season."
And all I'm seeing is it looked like a pickup truck, and it's blue. Okay, it means something. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, it was a hand here, right? Did you have your hand up? Are you the one that he was talking about? Okay, come on. Tooth. Okay. Well, let's see what the Lord has to say about your tooth. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he says, trust him and there'll be a new tooth. Hallelujah. Trust him and there'll be a new tooth. Okay. I don't know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where was another hand? There were more.
Don't be afraid.
Okay. Come on, sister. I can't remember you. What was it now? Okay. All right. Uh-huh. You just been dreaming about going somewhere. Okay. Praise you, Lord. Uh-huh. For a month, the teeth have been bothering you.
I touch you, my sister. My daughter, I search your heart, says the Lord. I know your desires. I know your efforts. I know your needs. And I say unto you, my child, I am your Lord. Lean not upon your understanding, but lift your heart to me with the faith that I have already placed in your heart, and I will provide for you all things. I will not withhold any good thing from my child. You've had trouble with your teeth, but I say unto you, did I not give you the first set? And I will provide for you a new set if needed. Now I say unto you, my child, I desire for you to come on in to me. Come on in with more prayer life, with a desired effort to seek me to the fullest. For yea, the darkness has come upon the land, and more darkness is coming, my child. And the hours are getting closer and closer for you, my daughter. Come on in to me. Be not afraid. Ask me, and I will pour out a blessing upon you that you will not be able to retain it. You have my favor, my daughter. You have my favor. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, quickly, one more who would come for a word by faith. Anyone? Okay. Oh? Yeah. Anyone who would come forward, and we'll see what the Lord has to say to you. Okay, take your right hand. Your right hand. Hold them together. Fashandoda bukurabadabhatadiyatadabahadalabahadadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyatadabahandiyat
I've watched you for a long time. I've watched you. I've watched you from your mother's wombs, each of you. I have watched you. Come along. And yes, I know there's hurts. I know there's hurts right now. But I know there's been other hurts, too. But I wash hurts. I wash hurts. Yes. And I'm washing you. I'm washing you as a river flows down through a stream over pebbles and over stones. I am allowing my spirit, my flow, to run over you. I am washing you. I am cleaning you. I am shaping you. I am forming you. Now, just trust me and come along. Come along.
Come along in the plan. Come along in the walk that I have made. Since before your inceptions, I have made this plan. I have made this plan for you. I have much for you. I have much for you. Open your hearts to my word. Open your hearts to my spirit. Open your hearts to my way. And watch and see. Watch and see. Watch and see what I do, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Father, eight-tandada. All, and there's an, maybe, I don't know if anybody sees it, but there's an aura right now. A light over them. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. We're going to be here through the evening, but we're going to take the opportunity now to thank you for having us, to express our humbleness to being in your midst, and to release a blessing upon all of you, a blessing on the household of every person who has been here since yesterday morning. We bless all of you with joy, with holiness, with sanctification, with satisfaction, with prosperity, with wisdom and understanding. We bless you now. And we love you. We love you. We love you in that love that someone expressed this morning, agape. We don't understand it. We just know we got it. And we know that we can't hold it back. We got to let it go on you. We love you. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.